Okay, so you've brought us a whole load of information about support for veterans, specifically in the northeast of England. We've got details on organizations, different types of services. It's a lot to get our heads around. What we're going to try and do in this deep dive is kind of zoom in, really focus on what seems most crucial.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's especially around the whole mental health aspect. And also that transition, going back to civilian life, which we know can be a huge adjustment for a lot of veterans.
Right, yeah.
Our mission here is to give you, the listener, a really clear and concise understanding of what's out there, what resources are available, and also just the overall approaches that are being used in the Northeast to support veterans and make sure they're thriving.
Exactly. I mean, you've given us a great kind of selection of information, and it is really interesting seeing the different facets of support that are out there. And I think the idea is that we can kind of connect the dots and not just look at what the support is, but how that's actually designed to meet the very specific needs that veterans are facing
Yeah, completely.
at this really kind of crucial time in their lives.
Okay, let's get right into it. And one thing that really jumps out from these sources right from the beginning is how central the issue of mental health is when it comes to veterans coming back into civilian life. Like, it's not an afterthought, it's really front and center.
Yeah, completely. And I think the material we have here emphasizes that there are so many adjustments and potential challenges that come with that transition from military life back into civilian life and the need to address mental health sort of proactively and early.
Yeah, and speaking of early, the text specifically mentions that early intervention can actually significantly improve how well veterans recover.
Yeah.
It's almost like, getting ahead of things before they potentially become bigger issues down the line. Why is that so crucial?
I think, you have to look at the bigger picture here, that veterans might have been in all sorts of intense situations during service, and that adapting back to civilian routines and expectations, that's a big shift. And what the sources suggest is that by addressing any mental health concerns right away, as soon as that transition starts, it prevents, things like PTSD or anxiety from becoming more entrenched. It's all about building those coping mechanisms and that resilience right from the get-go. And it's interesting, the sources even suggest that veterans who actually engage with mental health services within the first year of leaving service, they actually see a demonstrably better rate of, sustained well-being compared to those who sort of delay seeking that help.
That's a really important point. So, when a veteran is looking for support in the Northeast, who are some of those key organizations that they might find themselves, reaching out to or being directed to?
Well, one that seems to feature really prominently is the Anxious Minds Northeast Veteran Recovery College.
Correct.
They seem to be a kind of central point of contact for veterans in the
The
region.
Veteran Recovery College, what sort of specific support do they offer to veterans?
It seems from the information that their services are very tailored to the very diverse needs of veterans. So, it includes individual counseling. That's very important, a confidential space for them to kind of work through any personal challenges. But also, really crucially, they run these peer-led sessions,
Okay.
which, in the sources, it's indicated that those are very, very valuable because often those conversations can be more candid, less stigmatized, talking to peers who've kind of walked a similar path maybe than initially with a traditional therapist.
Yeah.
It might lead to earlier disclosure and support. And then they also do these great community events as well, which play a vital role in helping veterans rebuild those social connections
Okay.
and reintegrate back into civilian life.
So it's a real blend of that professional clinical support and also that, understanding and empathy that comes from shared lived experience.
Precisely. And it's not just about treating problems, but they're very much focused on building, what sources refer to as resilience, which in this context seems to be about equipping those veterans with specific coping mechanisms and strategies for navigating those unique challenges that civilian life throws at them, such as, managing anxiety when they're in new social situations
Right.
or, processing past experiences. And it's also really important to remember that local NHS trusts play a significant role in kind of making resources accessible through, their existing healthcare channels.
Yeah, that's good to know that it's tied into the existing healthcare system.
Yeah.
Now, the information we have here also really emphasizes peer, group, and family support as well. What kind of a role do those kinds of connections play in a veteran's recovery?
Well, I think it really highlights the fact that recovery isn't something that happens in isolation. You know, the sources very much emphasize the power of community. Group sessions offer that vital peer interaction, so, you know, veterans can share their stories, learn from each other's experiences, and that sense of camaraderie and just not feeling alone is crucial. Family involvement is also absolutely key because this transition affects the whole family, right? Not just the individual. And providing support for family members, that ensures that they can better understand and support the veteran, but also it addresses any challenges that they themselves might be facing as well. It's this whole holistic approach that seems to be central to that long-term stability and well-being.
It specifically mentions that families of armed forces personnel are encouraged to seek assistance as well. Why is that so important?
Well, because the stresses and the adjustments that are associated with military life and that subsequent transition, they don't just affect the veteran, right? Family members often experience their own anxieties. They need to adapt to significant changes. And offering support to families, it creates a stronger and more understanding home environment, which ultimately is what's crucial for the veteran's well-being. You've got to support that whole system around the individual.
Okay. So we've got these specialist organizations, this vital role of community. What is the actual range of recovery services that are accessible to veterans in the Northeast? What's out there?
It seems like there is quite a wide spectrum, really. You know, the sources mention everything from that individual counseling we talked about right through to really dedicated support for addiction, which, you know, can be something that some veterans struggle with. But what's really good is the kind of the accessibility of these resources. It's mentioned that support is available daily.
Daily. So that's pretty responsive. How do veterans actually connect with these services? You know, if they need help, how do they reach out? Who do they call?
Well, the sources really consistently point to helplines and websites as kind of those first points of contact, that they act as these central hubs of information and guidance. And crucially as well, it's mentioned that contacting services via email is also an option. So that's another way that veterans can kind of reach out, whether it's for help or just to ask for more information.
Okay. Let's go back to the Veteran Recovery College for a second. You know, we've mentioned it a couple of times. It's clearly a really important part of this whole ecosystem. What more can you tell us about what it does, what its specific functions are?
I mean, the material really highlights its importance in the region, specifically in addressing these mental health challenges and fostering that resilience that we've been talking about. As we said, they do one-to-one counseling, so it's personalized. They've got addiction services that are tailored to the needs of veterans. And it seems that the kind of overarching goal is to really alleviate stress and improve the overall well-being for those who've served.
And it's not just about that kind of immediate help in a crisis, is it? It sounds like there's a much more long-term perspective here as well.
Absolutely. The sources emphasize that the college really focuses on educating veterans about the long-term benefits of mental health care. So, you know, it's not just these kind of short-term interventions. It's really about sustainable well-being. And again, that sense of belonging, which they foster through community initiatives, is so crucial in terms of fostering that long-term engagement and recovery.
So it's really about connecting the different pieces of the puzzle, isn't it? How do these local initiatives that we've been talking about in the Northeast fit into the wider national picture?
That's a really good question. It does seem that there's a really well-established network of organizations across the UK who are all dedicated to supporting veterans. What's really interesting is the emphasis on collaboration. So you have the NHS, you have the Ministry of Defence, you have these local charities like Anxious Minds. They're all working together. And this kind of joined-up approach, it aims to provide that really comprehensive set of mental health services and make sure that the support is tailored to the needs of the individual.
Okay, that's reassuring to know it's not just a bunch of disconnected services. You mentioned helplines as being a really important point of contact. The information we have here does list a few specific examples, doesn't it?
It does. Helplines are very much presented as that first port of call for many veterans. So you have the NHS Veterans Mental Health Services, which are mentioned specifically for offering confidential advice and also, you know, that emergency support. And then you have the MOD helplines as well, which give more guidance on, you know, kind of practical things like, you know, benefits, housing, all those very important aspects of transitioning to civilian life. And then, of course, you know, charities like Combat Stress, for example, really highlighted for their expertise in dealing with things like combat-related stress and emotional well-being, and also the The Royal British Legion plays a big role in providing emotional support as well.
And these helplines, they're available when people need them the most, right?
Absolutely. It's specifically stated that often these helplines are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is so important because obviously the need for support doesn't just arise, you know, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
And websites as well are highlighted as invaluable resources because they offer that more in-depth information.
Okay.
All those important contact details. It even gives us a couple of specific helpline numbers, 308-40-30 and 0191-308.
That's really good to have those numbers right there.
Yeah.
Beyond these more direct contact points, what other forms of support are available? I know we've got information here about workshops.
Yeah, workshops and events. They're really highlighted as another key way to build that resilience and support veteran well-being. They seem to cover quite practical skills, you know, things like stress management, developing effective coping strategies, and that all-important reintegration into civilian life, which we know can be a huge adjustment for many.
And who typically organizes and runs those kinds of workshops?
The information suggests that it's very much charities who take the lead in hosting these events because obviously they provide that safe and supportive environment for veterans to connect and learn. But what's crucial here is that participation in these workshops doesn't just provide advice, it also ensures that veterans have that access to further treatment and support if they need it.
Right.
It's more interactive, it's community oriented.
So zooming out now, based on everything we've seen, what's the key takeaway here about veteran support in the Northeast?
I think the main message is that there really is a very substantial support network dedicated to veterans in the Northeast, and it's really multifaceted. It's not just one thing. The primary focus, as we said, is very much mental health and navigating that all-important transition into civilian life, and also the power of community, the power of feeling supported. There's a huge range of resources from those specialized organizations like the Veteran Recovery College to the National Helplines, local community initiatives, and it's all, you know, seemingly working in a coordinated way.
Yeah. And there seems to be this emphasis in everything we've seen on that early intervention, making sure people can get professional support when they need it.
Absolutely. That's consistently highlighted.
Yeah. It seems to be a guiding principle here.
Definitely. It's about, you know, that proactive approach to mental health and making sure veterans get the right kind of support at the right time to achieve, you know, those really positive outcomes.
Okay. Thinking about all of that, I mean, there's so much variety in the services available. What would you say might be the biggest challenge for a veteran actually seeking out support? You know, and what could these services do to better address that?
That's a really interesting point. I think sometimes when you have such a comprehensive range of resources, actually navigating that system can be, you know, can be a challenge.
Right.
Yeah. You know, knowing which service is best for their specific needs, how to access it. And I think, you know, maybe even clearer pathways and more streamlined communication between those different organizations might simplify that process.
Yeah, that's so important. Because it's not just about having those services exist, it's about making them easy to access and easy to understand. Well, thank you so much for taking this deep dive with me.
My pleasure. It's really important to understand the landscape, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, thinking about everything we've discussed, this focus on early intervention, the work that organizations like the Veteran Recovery College are doing, the importance of community and family, the whole network of helplines, workshops, and everything. It really makes you wonder, with such a comprehensive approach to mental health support in the Northeast, how might this impact the long-term well-being of veterans in this region in the years to come? That's something for all of us to ponder.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for listening.